Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Hark, 'tis the shepherd's voice I hear, out in the desert, dark and drear, calling the sheep who've gone astray, far from the shepherd's fold away. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin, bring them in, bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus.
Hark, 'tis the shepherd's voice I hear, out in the desert dark and drear, calling the sheep who've gone astray, far from the shepherd's fold away. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus. We'll go and help this shepherd kind, help him the wandering ones to find. We'll bring the lost ones to the fold, where they'll be sheltered from the cold. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the field of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus. Out in the desert, hear their cry. Out on the mountains wild and high, hark, 'tis the Master speaks to thee, go find my sheep wherever they be. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus.
Reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 8, beginning at verse 28 through verse 36. John 8, verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. He that hath sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Let's give thanks for these words. the blessing that is here described and promised. Let's pray that we will continue in the Word until we are made free. Our Father, we come to Thee through Christ Jesus, Thy Son, He who alone is the way, the truth, the life. He who alone has paid the price on the cross for our sin. We pray that we might see that rightly, that we might see it as, Lord Jesus, You spoke it here, that when I am lifted up, that then we will look to Thee. And we pray that we might see that rightly, that we might know as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must Thou be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on Thee shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Make us to know not only the gospel, but the need of the gospel. We see here a people who heard Thy word in part, but did not continue in it, and would not know their bondage and the need to be set free. We pray, Father, that wherever we are in such a state, Thou wilt, by Thy Spirit, teach us. We pray for Thy blessing on the church to rightly realize our sin, to rightly know the need of repentance, that we might have a reviving in our time, a reviving of truth and doctrine, but especially a reviving of truth and practice. We pray that we may not be as these here, saying that we were never in bondage, as these people here believing they were children of Abraham. We still see some of that teaching and tradition in the church today. And we pray, Father, that we might rightly understand what we need to be children of Abraham. And as Thou hast told us by the pen of Paul, that if we are Christ, then are we Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We pray that we might hear the promise, and we pray that we might do what is needed to have the promise fulfilled in us and for us. We pray, Father, for that blessing again in the church, but also in the world, that having it in the church, we might then do as we sang, bring them in, bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Thee, Lord Jesus. We know that that is much needed in our nation, more than probably any time before in our history. And we confess it. We confess that we and our fathers have sinned, as Daniel could say, and also that to us belongeth confusion of face, as it is this day, that we might see these things rightly, where we are and what we are, that we might know it and acknowledge it to Thy glory and to the upbuilding of the church, and then to the saving of the world. We pray, Father, that those things promised in Thy word might be fulfilled in our time, that all the ends of the earth shall hear and fear and turn unto Thee. We pray that Thy Spirit might be sent to the church, that it will repent, that it will be in one accord in prayer and supplication, as that early church was before the day of Pentecost. We pray also, Father, that more laborers might be called and sent in every nation. We pray for the spiritual blessings first. We pray also for the needs of those in suffering, the homeless, the hungry, the war-torn lands, the persecuted, all these calamities that have fallen and are falling. We give thanks for the blessings that we have, and we pray for those that are in need. We pray for those in sickness, those in sorrow, older age. We pray for the broken homes and the children, especially in those homes. We pray, Father, for the needs in the schools and the workplace. We pray for our government, our leaders. We pray, Father, that thy fear might be put in their hearts, that we might have the beginning of wisdom. We pray that thou wilt now bless this word and make us to continue in it, to hear all of it, not to refuse it. We ask it all and give thanks through Christ. Amen. As we consider these words that we ended the message with last week, reading Christ's words, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." There's two things that must be known, probably many more beside, but two particularly. One is the gospel of Christ, God's power unto salvation to everyone that believes, as Paul stated in Romans 1:16. Here, Christ said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you shall know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself." We read that as He spake these words, many believed on Him. Some would say, well, that's sufficient. They believed on Christ. That's all that was needed. But the Lord Jesus continued His message to them. We read, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Only God knows how many there are in the church today that have believed the gospel, believed that Christ is the Son of God, believed He came down to earth, born of the Virgin Mary, born in Bethlehem, was there, taught, did wonders, miracles. Many would believe all of this. But I know for myself, it was many years that while I believed this, I did not know that I had yet to be set free. Christ said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." There is the word of believing the gospel, but there is also the word of repentance. Change in us. Sometimes people would think, well, that's for those that might have different outward sins. The drunkard has to repent and stop his drinking. If we're a thief, we have to stop stealing. If we're adulterers or guilty of fornication, those sins have to be stopped. And that's all true. But that is no. One can even do that and still not be set free. Not knowing our real bondage. The bondage of unbelief. The bondage of thinking all is well. And especially as these here, we read further when they said, verse 33, "We be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man." They were the covenant people. They were the circumcised ones. They certainly were a special people, were given special blessings, special promises. Paul asked the question when he wrote the letter to the church at Rome, "What advantage then hath the Jew? What profit is there in circumcision?" And he said, "Much every way. To them were given the oracles of God." As we have in the King James Bible, really meaning, to them were given the Scriptures, God's holy word, that which He states here, "If you continue in my word." They had that word. It's true they didn't have as much of it as we do. They had the Old Testament up to that time. That was sufficient. Paul could prove from the Scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. The Scriptures tell us much. They tell us how Adam sinned, and they tell us that we are sinners. They tell us the words of Moses, the words of Samuel, the words of David, the words of Isaiah, and the other prophets. All of those words are there. And they speak very plainly. I read this morning from Psalm 38, David's words, which were true for him and are equally true for us, all of us. That's the bondage we are in. Listen as we read David's word there in Psalm 38, verse 3. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For mine iniquities are gone over my head. As an heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. If we don't know that with David, then we may not have continued in the Word as we should have. That's part of Scripture. Part of what Paul said and what we have considered somewhat in the past. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. And we need all of those different ways that the Scripture speaks of. Doctrine. The doctrine of God. The doctrine of creation. The doctrine of the fall of man. Our sinfulness. And that one doctrine particularly was the one that these people didn't seem to know. The doctrine of their sin. If we follow them through the history of the teaching of the Lord Jesus, they certainly knew it of others. They thought it was strange that the Lord Jesus ate with publicans and sinners. They knew that those people were sinners, but they didn't know it for themselves. The psalmist gives the very plain description in another psalm. The Lord looked down from heaven to see if there were any that were righteous, if there were any that would seek God, and there were none. None righteous, no, not one. We can see those words in Psalm 14. We can see the same words again in Psalm 53. And Paul used those very same words, quoting them from the different Psalms, as he wrote to the New Testament church, the church at Rome. You can read his words from those Psalms that I mentioned and other Psalms as well, giving the sinfulness of man, the sinfulness of all men, the sinfulness of you and me. When Paul says, are we better than they? And he says, in no wise. We have together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Not doing good in regard to the law, and not doing good either in regard to the gospel. Remember what we read some time ago? The words of the Lord Jesus to Nicodemus. He stated there, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. These people that Christ was talking to, that had heard him say, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you shall know that I am he, and I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. As he spake these words, many believed on him. They believed, evidently, what he said about himself. what he would do, how he would be lifted up. We don't know how plainly they knew the way of the gospel, but John writes very plainly, as he spake these words, many believed on him. And not only did John write that, but the Lord Jesus is described in the next verse. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. They had believed on him. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There was the part that they didn't want to believe. They didn't want to continue in that part of God's word. And many will not either today. There are people who will say, I'm different than others. Some will say, I was born in a Christian home. I never sinned like others. Maybe not in exactly the same way, but think of what Christ said. Just for example of one city where he had did many mighty works, and sometimes he couldn't do them because of their unbelief. But he said also, if the mighty works that had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, they would have repented, and they've been there up to this day. He also said that it will be more tolerable, more merciful for Sodom than for them. They didn't have the outward sins that Sodom and Gomorrah did, the Sodomites, the immorality, the terribleness of it. And it's there today. It's terrible. It's wrong. It's sinful. It will be punished, and is being punished already, in the shortness of life that some people experience because of these sins. They don't live a long life. What's worse? Pride. Self-righteousness. That is the height of unbelief. That is the sin that the Spirit is going to convict of when he comes to any one of us. The Lord Jesus said when he comes, he will reprove the world of sin. Of sin because they believe not on me. Yes, we may believe about him. And here we even read they believed on him. But they would not believe all of his words. He had said in his ministry, and did say later, he came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He gave the example. He said, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. That's a plain example. We go to the doctor when we're sick, not healthy. When we're in pain, we probably can't wait to get help. When we are healthy, we wouldn't want to go. We said, I don't need that. And I'm afraid there are many today who believe on the Lord Jesus historically. The fact that he came those 2,000 years ago and was born, that he lived, that he died 1,900 and some years ago, rose again. These days are kept and commemorated. Think about what happened on those particular days. Why? Why? I have to know it was for me. I have to know that I have to continue in the Word until I know I'm lost. I need a Savior. It took some time before I believed that. I started out with ifs. If I'm not saved, then save me. But before the Lord answered that prayer as I would have wanted it answered, he made me know my sin. One thought that came to me during those times, I'm nothing but a sinner that can do nothing but sin. When the psalmist says, there is none that doeth good, no, not one, that's the same message. That's what we must learn, and we must continue in the Word. We must continue to preach it. We must continue to hear it, and we must continue in it until we believe all of it. What I quoted a few moments ago, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. There's many doctrines that people don't want to believe. The doctrine of God as a sovereign God. The doctrine of man. We sometimes, in theological terms, call it total depravity. Totally sinful. Total. Nothing good. Not in relationship to the law. Not in relationship to the gospel. I read part of Christ's words there to Nicodemus. He also said to him, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved." These people were believing on Christ, but they didn't want to stay with him. They didn't want to continue in his word. They were beginning to be reproved. He said, after they said they never were in bondage, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." You become the servant of what you do one time. Then Christ said, "I know that you are Abraham's seed," in a part that we didn't read, "but you seek to kill me." How it changed. They heard his word, believed on him, and now when he gives them further words and tells them that they're not right, everyone is in bondage, they included, they were angry. And the end of the chapter shows us that they picked up stones to stone him. Earlier in the chapter, he says, "You are of your father, the devil." Those described as he spake these words, many believed on him. We must get back to believe the whole word. One of the reasons for the divisions in our churches is because we believe part of it. And we make much of part of the word, but not the whole word. And if we all believed the whole word, we would suddenly be one. One in the knowledge of God. One in the knowledge of our sin. And one in being set free by Christ, as he said, "If the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed."
To God be the glory.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise